All right. So this morning, as we get started, I need a volunteer, and I think I'm going to pick Scott. You have strong arms? You think you have strong arms?
Okay.
So I'm going to have you just stand up there for a second. And this is a staff. Now, this is from when I was a kid. And we'll not talk about the things I wrote on here. Let's see. In November of 1999, I wrote, "May all who use this fight with honor and dignity." So, all right. So what I need you to do is just stand right here and hold the staff out like this and hold it up. Yeah, like that. Or underneath, however you, whatever's comfortable. Okay, and just do that for a minute.
Okay.
All right. So last week we talked about the perils of loneliness, and we talked about some of the different things, and we talked about that being lonely and socially isolated can cause premature death, heart attack, and stroke. And some of the social isolation statistics are worse than if you are having obesity or smoking. Some of that social isolation is even worse. We were made for relationships. And the most important relationship that we have, of course, is with Jesus. And the fact that he died on the cross for our sins when there was no way that we could be with God on our own, Jesus made the way for us and offers that relationship with us. When you accept that relationship with Jesus, you also get a relationship with the church, the universal church, and with a local body of believers. The church body is a living organism, and each part of the body has a specific role and a specific purpose. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, okay, you become part of that body. You're given a specific purpose. You're given a specific assignment in the body of Christ. And each part is important and crucial for the body to function. Now, the body of Christ is meant to function for two different groups of people. First is designed to function for those outside of the body. And that is when the church is doing things to bring people into the body. And that's evangelism, telling people the good news about Jesus Christ. The other thing that the body does is minister to those in the body, those brothers and sisters of the faith. That's done through preaching and teaching and discipleship. It also means that we are to minister to those in the body who are suffering from loneliness. The church, if it's functioning the way that it's supposed to be, should be one of the least lonely places on earth. Because we have brothers and sisters in the faith who are members of the body, and we should be supporting one another and loving one another. We should be able to find people to connect with and share our lives with. In other words, we should find people that we can love and that we can receive love from. When the church was founded, this is what happened in Acts chapter 2, and we've read this before, but I'll read it again. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. As a believer, we share our lives with one another, and we are supposed to be doing these things that they talk about, sharing possessions, sharing meals, sharing fellowship, spending time together. And if we are living as a New Testament church, then we should be doing those same things. We should want to be sharing our lives with our brothers and sisters of the faith. Because it should be a place that if you are lonely, you're able to find relief, a place to find rest and friendship. Now, loving others is something that is kind of a big and giant abstract concept. I can say, do you love others? And most of you will probably say, well, sure. But look to your right and look to your left. Can you say that you love those people? So, what's something that you would do for someone that you love? Just call out anything. What's something that you would do for someone you love? Help them financially, okay? Chocolate. Yes. Pick them up when they're stranded. Help them carry their load. Be supportive. Take them fishing. Absolutely. So when's the last time you did one of those things for someone in the church? One of your... Oh, that was rhetorical. But good. But last year, that's a long time ago. God created the church to be a people on mission and a people that love each other and care for one another. And so we need to be doing that. When people in our church feel isolated and alone, then we're not doing a very good job of being the church the way God intended it. Now, of course, there has to be effort on both sides. The people have to be willing to put in the time and effort and energy to be part of the church. But as a church, we need to be reaching out and sharing and loving and caring one another. Ecclesiastes says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. And if one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Two people together can be a powerful force, but three people together is even stronger. And if you put the whole church together, it's an unstoppable force. Now, when we come to how are we supposed to interact with one another, we talk about love and love one another, but how many of you have read 1 Corinthians 13 before? The love passage. The last time you probably heard that was probably at a wedding, right? How many of you had that read at your wedding? Anyone? Okay. Some of us. I think it was at mine. It's a blur. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. We read it at weddings. We talk about, oh, well, you've got to love your spouse this way. You've got to love your kids this way. But 1 Corinthians 13 is smack dab in the middle of a section about how we're supposed to relate to one another as a church. It was not intended for the spousal relationship like we would like to think of it. This is how we're supposed to love one another as brothers and sisters in the church. And so I want to read that to you from the Message version. You okay? Are you ticklish? I shouldn't do that when he's got a staff in his hand. From the Message version, 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. It's a pretty tall order for how we're supposed to love one another. Think about that. Do you love the people in this room the way that that just described? Do you love your family the way this described? Look back to your right and left again. Do you love that person the way that it was described in 1 Corinthians 13? And as a church, are we holding that standard up for us to love one another to that level? But before we start placing the blame, oh, well, that person's not loving very well. That person's not loving me like that. We have to remember that Jesus said, take care of the log in your own eye before you start judging the speck in someone else. So, look on the back page here. When people encounter you, do they find? And then pull out a pen out of the chair in front of you, and you're going to fill this out for yourself. And it's not a test. You don't have to show me later. So, when people encounter you, do they find patience? And mark an X somewhere on that line. Almost all the time or rarely. When people encounter you, do they find kindness? An absence of jealousy? An absence of comparisons or competition? An absence of pride or ego? An absence of rudeness or demanding your own way? An absence of irritability? An absence of a record of wrongs? An absence of grudges? An absence of rejoicing over injustices? Rejoicing when truth wins out? Someone who never gives up? Someone who never loses faith. And when people encounter you, do they find hope? If everyone in the church answered that page the same way that you just answered it, what kind of church would we have? One of the tools that we talked about when you're dealing with loneliness is to be the kind of friend that you want to be. And as we look at this and we see room for improvement in our own lives, that's the way the church is going to improve. Is that a windmill? That's the way the church improves, by each one of us praying and allowing the Holy Spirit to mold us into the man or woman that we're supposed to be like. Now, how do we do that? We do that through the study of God's Word. We do that through prayer. We do that through Bible study. We do that through spending time with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we do that by sharing our lives with one another. We must each commit to loving one another the way that Paul describes love in 1 Corinthians 13. Because when we don't, the whole church suffers, and each person in here suffers from that. When we don't love, we're like the rusty gate, and what use is that? Also on your handout on the front page is a poem from Henry Nouwen. Did I offer peace today? Did I bring a smile to someone's face? Did I say words of healing? Did I let go of my anger and resentment? Did I forgive? Did I love? These are the real questions. I must trust that the little bit of love I sow now will bear many fruits, here in this world and the life to come. The most important thing that we can do is to love. Love God and love one another. How are you doing? Crampy? Is that a word? Crampy? So, your arms are getting tired? Yeah? How could we help you in this? Okay. So, Jacob and Ron, come up. Sit on this stool. Scott, keep those arms up, though. And you come on either side of him. And he has to hold the staff, but you can help hold his arms up. all but weed. Yeah. Now, does that feel a little bit better? A little better. Okay. All right. You guys can sit down. Thanks. You can sit down, too. Yeah, and I'll take that before you get any ideas. Give Scott a hand. Okay. What we just illustrated was the story of Moses, Joshua, and Hur that's found in Exodus 17:10-13. And what happened was, God said that for the battle against the Amalekites, Moses had to hold his staff up. And when Moses held his staff up, the battle would turn in favor of the Israelites. But whenever he let his staff down, the battle turned against the Israelites. And so he had to hold the staff up, and he got tired holding the staff up, like Scott did. I really wanted to stretch this message out a little longer, just to see how long you could go. But Scott got tired, and then, so what they did is that Hur and Aaron got and held up Moses' arms, so that he could rest his arms, but the battle would still be going in the way of the Israelites. When facing our own battles, our arms get tired holding up our staff, fighting for what we need to be fighting for. As a church, we should be coming up to those of you that are fighting those battles and help hold up your arms. If you were here today and your arms are tired of holding up your staff, I want you to know that there are people here that will help hold up your arms, that will be with you and walk with you through these times that you're struggling with. And so I encourage you to come talk to me or talk to someone else and share that, because we don't always know what's going on with everyone in church. But we all have times when we need help holding up our staff. We also all have times also that we need to be helping hold up someone else's arms. As a church, that's the picture that we should have. It should never be Scott holding up the staff on his own, because that's not how God designed it. God designed us for relationships, and God designed us so that we could go through life together.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button, or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.